This is exactly right.
Forgive me for interrupting. I'm Bridger Weiniger, host of I Said No Gifts on Exactly Right. Each week, I invite my favorite people in comedy over to chat, and they always bring a gift. We're coming up on our 200th episode, and every episode is a gem. I have welcomed all kinds of great guests, including Cola Scola, Bowen Yang, Robbie Hoffman. It goes on and on and on. And you don't want to miss the 200th episode with the great Maria Bamford. What does she bring me? Find out April 25th. New episodes every Thursday. Follow I Said No Gifts wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you leaving? Are you on your way back home? Either way, we want to be there. Doesn't matter how much baggage you claim. Give us a time and date, terminal and gate. We want to send you off in style. We want to welcome you back home. Tell us all about it. Were you scared or was it fine?
Mouth horn.
With Karen and Chris. Welcome to Do You Need a Ride? This is Chris Fairbanks.
And this is Karen Kilgariff.
Hello, my friend Karen.
Hi.
How are you?
Well, I'm good. I just got back from a trip to Hawaii. No brag.
You went to Hawaii?
I went to, may I pronounce it correctly, Hawaii, the island of Kauai. I don't know if that's actually how you pronounce it. But I thought of you on my ride home. It was a very fast trip. It was lovely, and that's my favorite place and all these things. But so I was dreading the flight home anyway. But I also hate the in-between. Like, I like to be home or I like to be in the place I'm going. But that in-between, I have to shut down. I just have to not be available, really, to my fellow man. That's the only way I get through it. Because, like,
That's a problem. It's so easy. With stand up, I can't. The actual flights, I can't. You gotta.
We're too sensitive,
out.
You and I. We're like, other people affect us. I will have one comment from one person, and I'll be furious for 4 hours. It's craziness. Yes. So, that's the mode I was in.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a super cute boy in the seat next to me on the ride home, where I was like, it's too bad you're not a friendlier person. You should be. You could even say one word to this person.
Yeah.
But he's super, super cute. And I kept thinking, like, why is he so cute and friendly? Like, at one point, his AirPod thing was sitting in the counter between us. And I went, is that yours? Because I thought maybe it was mine and I had left it there.
Uh-huh.
And he went, oh, sorry, and grabbed it and, like, when's the last time you see a man act like that?
Yeah,
he was like,
yeah.
I'm sorry to have my shit near your stuff. Where I was like, oh, I didn't mean it that way. But I didn't even say that. I just went back to my, I was like, don't break out of the pod.
Yeah.
When we land, him and his friend across, who looked very familiar, take down skateboards.
Oh.
And then people were talking to them about the skateboards. And then I'm like, of course. They're professional skateboarders. That's why they have that vibe about
them.
And
I'm trying to think what was going on in Hawaii. I don't know.
On the island of Kauai. They could have been on vacation and just brought their boards with them.
It could have, maybe, but those, I mean, if usually that means someone's got a camera and they're working. Where did they have Red Bull hats on? I need to know if I could start guessing.
The guy sitting next to me had like a cowboy hat on, but it felt like he was doing it sarcastically.
Sure, that happens. Leisure wear.
And then here's what I loved. I think they were with, it wasn't just the two of them. I think they were with other people, but they took their skateboards down that were like zip tied together. They were like specifically kind of like made into baggage, I think.
Yeah. That's...
They cut the zip ties. And as we were, because the Hawaiian, this is very boring, but the Hawaiian gate in LAX is like 5 miles away from everything else. You literally have to walk for 20 minutes to get out to where Hawaiian is. And as we were walking back, they skateboarded by in the airport, like yeah, walking.
Anyone down. That's an amateur doesn't have the confidence like me to actually skate in the airport. I see it in video. Pros do it because then they can just flash their "I'm a professional skateboarder" card.
Yes, that's what to me locked it down that they were serious. Because also they had to basically skate through people, which only I think the highest level skaters are good at. Like you mess that up once and I think you don't go back.
Terrific.
Right?
Yeah, totally. Terrific. I'm saying this is terrific information. Did the guy with the cowboy hat have face tattoos?
No, okay. They looked, there was a kind of, he looked young and old at the same time, sure. The guy sitting next to me.
Do you have long hair?
No.
Okay.
Clean cut looking.
I don't know. Okay.
We'll have to look it up. I was thrilled. And also, here's the best part. We were the first seats, so my stuff was behind me. And there were some people behind us that were like, had a kind of anti-mask vibe to them where they were kind of being argumentative when we first got on the flight.
They're always in the back, yeah.
Yeah, so I looked and I was like, I have to get off first, but my suitcase is here and then my purse is like one down. So, and then I tried to say that to the man who literally was like 1 inch from my face because he wanted to get off and he was just going to push through my person, apparently. And the skateboarder, I'll call him the skateboarder, goes, "Where's your stuff? I'll get it." It was like he heard me trying to communicate with this old man who was not hearing me and didn't care. And then he just got it done for me. Like, he was everything I wanted him to be.
Yep, that's skateboarders for you. There's a sense of community. They look out for other people.
They do.
It's not the early 90s anymore.
No. I think they're excited to be making a living at the hobby they love to do, so they have that good energy out in the world.
Yeah.
Maybe?
Yeah. And they know it only lasts, like, 5 years. Yeah. So they enjoy it while
it lasts. So they're going to make the most of it while they can.
Yeah, he'll have two blown-out knees come 2027. Oh, sorry. I don't mean to wish that on his cowboy wearing hat.
No.
Cowboy wearing hat ass. I'll figure out who it was. When you said cowboy hat, I was thinking this Lockwood guy or Braden Safransky. I don't know. There's people that wear wide-brimmed hats. Not necessarily. If it's a full-on cowboy hat, boy, you got me. I'm not sure.
But that could have been like his island hat that he just was not ready to let go of yet.
Right, we all wear island
because
wear.
Yeah. He had a little bit of a red hair, tan red-haired person, rare.
Okay.
But he would still need that sunshade, I think.
Yeah.
As we all do in Hawaii.
I'm going to get to the bottom of this.
Great.
And find you his phone number.
So I can text him.
Yeah. Remember me?
But now we should introduce our guest, don't you think?
Of course. One of my favorite people on and off stage. We share the same manager. We're related in that we both started in the wonderful city of Austin, Texas. You know her from clubs as well as so many colleges.
So many colleges all over the country.
Ladies and gentlemen, Maggie May.
Woo! Yeah! It's me.
Yeah.
I love that. Just that rootin' tootin'.
Oh, yeah.
You got to give a little more on Zoom so people really know. Like, if I was just sitting here smiling, Maggie, you might not know how excited I was. So I have to do some finger guns for you.
I feel very welcome with that.
Yeah, okay, good. It's mostly for the guests. But when you're gesticulating, it also affects, your enthusiasm. And even though you can't see it, Karen and I are always wildly throwing our hands about and doing, it just kind of helps.
And rocking our shoulders.
Yeah. We're all bobbing our shoulders right now. And we always
feels good.
It does feel good. It feels good to be part of something.
Right? A team, a shoulder team.
We look good on Zoom doing it too.
Yeah. It makes sense.
We could be fly girls or something.
Maggie, you go ahead, Karen.
Thank you, Chris. I was just going to say, Maggie, I feel like the last time I saw you was when we were at the All Jane Comedy Festival in Portland. What was it, 8 years ago or?
has to have been. Something like that.
I don't think I've seen you in person since that time. Nice to see you again.
You too. It's always hard because I'm like, now that we're coming back out of things, I'll see people and be like, I haven't seen you in forever. And then I remember that, like, we all haven't seen each other in forever. And, like, that's kind of, I mean, we never did get to see each other, like, every day or anything like that. So then, you know, it just feels like longer.
Yeah.
Yeah. And every time I see someone, I'm like, I haven't seen you in 3 years with an accusatory tone. Why have you been hiding from me? Oh, I forgot about the world.
Oh, the disease hid you from me.
It's a great sign. We don't immediately think of the disease. See, it's slipping our minds now. We're back to blaming people. It's great. It's a good sign.
It's a healthy sign. Maggie, how was your quarantine overall?
Not bad. It wasn't really bad. I'm an introvert and, you know, I worked from home a lot anyway. And so it was just, I caught up on a bunch of Netflix shows. I mean, it had its ups and downs, but like, I just got real weird and got real comfortable with it and just was like, I'd wake up at like 2 a.m. and start my day and then go to sleep at like 4 p.m. and then wake up at midnight and just like, and I liked that it was, and I really acknowledged that it was nuts at the time. I was like, this is not a sustainable model. Like, this is not what sane people do in their lives. And I know there's an end to this, but it was fun. I was like, oh, it's fun to kind of be crazy and just be eating breakfast at 3 a.m.
I knew you'd say that because you and I were checking in weekly because our manager, Jessica, we were doing those Zoom shows and we all were hanging out and talking even when no one else was meeting. Like, with our masks and going to that stage. And so I knew you were, I knew you were thriving.
Thank you.
Yeah. I did the same thing. I did a lot of waking up at 3 a.m. and going, oh, well, let's watch some TV. Let's go with this. And same thing of at the beginning of quarantine, I just said to myself, this is going to get weird. No one's ever done anything like this before. So there's no rules, and as weird as things get, you're fine. Like, it'll go back eventually. But like, so then I would get up, and I was also telling myself, did you ever hear that like Ben Franklin used to get up at 3:30 in the morning, and that's when he would write and had all his like invention ideas and stuff?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So I was telling myself, like, this is some real Ben Franklin shit that I'm doing.
Yeah.
It would have been some Ben Franklin shit for me if I wasn't waking up at 3 a.m. to watch Guy's Grocery Games for the sixth week in a row. I was like, let's go start our day and be productive. Let's see what they're doing over at Flavortown Market.
There's an actual Flavortown restaurant in Universal City now. So it comes up on my Postmates where I'm like, I could have anything on the Guy Fieri menu delivered to my house if I wanted to.
I am so close to Universal City. I have half a mind to go run down there and pick up a chicken cluck or whatever he's doing.
Yeah.
I watched all the shows that Guy Fieri hosted, all of them. Chance Fieri. Of a Lifetime. I watched all of that.
What was Chance of a Lifetime?
So he handed over keys to a new Chicken Guy franchise. So he's having a Chicken Guy franchise. He had 6 people come up and do like a 2-week long job interview where they had to, like, you know, do all these little crazy events and get judged by Hunter and stuff. His son was part of it. And they gave the restaurant to the guy who obviously was going to win like the whole time. There was like one great candidate and a bunch of like, you know, if a miracle happens, one of y'all can win, but it's probably going to be Kevin.
How did you know it was him? Because the guy was wearing a flaming Spider-Man silk button-up or something?
He's like, what's up, brother? I think we're of a like mind, and I could open the hell out of this restaurant like you would.
How's your bookkeeping? Mine's okay.
Yeah, we've reached a point where everyone used to talk shit about Guy Fieri. Did Shane Torres open everyone's eyes to what a decent person he is, like helping people start restaurants? And it's like, okay, I just, because I don't like his style, he's probably a super nice guy.
See, I was never on that bandwagon, and I was a big fan of ska. So I was like, hell yeah, wear that Bowling shirt. Oh, you look cool.
Let's get those frosted tips over here.
I never realized till right now. Yeah, he just looks like the lead singer of Goldfinger. Yeah, he's a skanking guy. He's a ska guy.
Yeah. Well, then I would love to brag right now that he lives up near my hometown in Northern California. And he used to have a restaurant in Petaluma called Johnny Garlic's that was very popular for a long time.
That's so perfect.
Super popular. And then everyone up there knows he's a great guy because that's the one celebrity you can talk about. And people are like, I've met him. He's great. He's so nice. He's down to earth. Mm-hmm. And I saw him once on the street on Halloween when my niece, who is now a freshman in high school, but at the time was like 3 years old or 4 years old. And the downtown of Petaluma used to do a thing on Halloween during the day where you could take the little kids to stores. So it was like they got to trick or treat in a very like kind of safe and, you know, structured environment and no weirdos, no razor blades. And I saw Guy Fieri with his, I think his kid at the time also, trick-or-treating, and everybody was trying to be cool. Like, everybody was trying not to look and just act like, he's our neighbor, everything's fine. But we were all thrilled.
Well, knowing Guy, it probably wasn't his kid. He's just mentoring or doing a Big Brother's Big Sister's program thing. He's just an outreach.
He's a young chef.
Yeah. He's promised. That kid probably has a lucrative food truck on a bicycle now.
See here, kid, you could reduce this snicker down to a gas streak.
Oh, man. So wait, sorry. Johnny Garlic's. Everyone would be like, it's great. You have to go there. You have to try it.
Until the owner comes up and whispers in your face, how are you enjoying everything? Oh, Johnny Garlic.
Although, wouldn't your breath counterbalance back at him?
They just clash in midair.
Yeah. It's the only smell that you can smell. But diners... Dives and drive-throughs, right?
Yeah, some combination of those words.
It's something in there.
That
one I really loved because I really like, and I don't want to steal Shane Torres's bit, but I do feel like that idea of like, there are these places, especially where I'm from, where people like will go there once a week because the food is so good. But it really, there's a place in Petaluma and they sell amazing hot dogs, but it's in an auction yard for livestock. So you literally are driving in and like behind it, there's just cows and sheep waiting to be bought and slaughtered. And then, but you can walk into like the front office area and get the best hot dog around. So like, I'm very much a believer in that idea of like the little hidden places that people actually love.
Yeah, the hidden gems. But what kind of gets me on those is like, they will just show you how they make their thing.
Yeah.
They will, and it's a base recipe and everything like that. But there are some Mexican food restaurants in my hometown that if they showed the base recipe for like their queso recipe, that would be my queso recipe. I would never need to go back. You know, like I'm real close to figuring some stuff out.
Mm,
and you know, like I don't want Triple D to go on and like ruin their business from me. Cause I will fast forward and pause as long as I need to. I'll measure what looks like a fourth of a cup, just getting it real close to the TV and just start measuring. I mean,
are you from Austin or from another town in Texas?
From South Texas.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And so do you know of anywhere in LA that does the Tex-Mex thing properly? Like a bullet? It was such a staple of my diet, just having a bowl of melted cheese one time a week. And I didn't realize it was specific to Austin, really.
Yeah. South Texas does that too, the Tex-Mex. Yeah. I haven't found a place here that does queso.
Yeah.
There is a place, I like Paquito Mas because they serve the food similar to Tex-Mex.
Right.
Like I'm a huge... if I'm going to eat Mexican food, it has to be refried beans.
Yeah.
You can't just put like a handful of loose beans. My plate.
Just refried
beans.
Just spilling out of a book bag.
No one wants a bunch of wet beans. separate wet beans.
They're scattered everywhere.
They're like, you want some of this?
No. Yes.
Sprinkled bean.
Get your beans together, sir.
Wait, have you had the queso burrito at Paquito Mas where they stick the queso is poured inside?
I have not had that yet. I keep getting the bowls. Queso burrito?
Yeah, it's real good. But I think it truly is like 4,000 calories. I mean, it's pretty
serious. Commitment. You just got to make a commitment for one day. Like, I'm going to have this Paquito Mas burrito.
Yeah.
And walk home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Burn some of it off, but I'm
doing
it.
Try to counter. Yes, right. Exactly. Plan ahead.
The one thing that day on your Google calendar is... Oh, yeah, it's Burrito Wednesday.
Oh, I got it. Sorry, I got to do some stretching. It's Burrito Wednesday.
And tomorrow I send an email. Yeah.
Queso is a miracle dish, though. It's amazing.
It really is. It really is. And if you can find someone that makes it just like, the place near my home, in my hometown, actually, Los Asados, you could just feel it. Trickling down your throat and just coating your whole throat like a warm shawl, like a nice hug. And you're like, this is hardening an artery and I'm cool with it.
Yeah. There's other arteries. There's other.
Yeah. You see what science is doing these days? I'll get a pig artery if I need to. So reading this now.
When did you start in Austin then? You were there when I had already left. I just went back enough to where I got to know you on visits, but maybe.
I started in 2009.
Yeah, I had already established residency here.
Oh, you're in residence here?
Yeah.
In LA?
I have a residency at in tenure. In both Echo Park and Austin, I have a residency. Yeah.
Chris Fairbanks you're the Elton John of Echo Park, I would say.
Oh, yeah. Residency is where you perform somewhere for a whole month or something. I've done that too.
Sure.
I had a residency at Tiger Lily, I think. Yeah. And I have tenure.
Is that in Austin?
No, that was a show here. It was bad. It was... Pre your arrival. I like to reference things long since forgotten.
I like, Maggie, we got an information sheet on you and it was just like things you do and whatever. And then at the bottom, it says Maggie really likes candy.
That's the time. Remember whenever it was that you kept going on about Nerds Rope, Karen?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And I was like, don't know that I've ever heard it. I think I pretended to be like, oh, I love a Nerds Rope because I was on board with the Nerds candy. But I lied to you. I'm admitting that now.
Oh,
not
okay.
A day
Thank
or
you.
Two later, we had some kind of a candy-themed Zoom show. And you and Maggie gave me a Nerds Rope. It was just days later. And I'm like, hey, I've been hearing about these things. And you weren't
they're
lying.
They're kind of amazing.
Yeah,
it's
everything.
All
you
the
need.
Textures. It's a texture of kind of every kind of sour candy.
Yeah.
But then a newness that I appreciate.
Yeah. It's.
I feel like the nerds on a Nerd Rope have a more of a mouthfeel to them because they have to like compete with the rope. But Karen, have you fucked with the nerds gummy clusters?
Gummy clusters? Yes,
gummy clusters?
You just like them because they're stuck together. It's the same as this bean situation.
No.
You don't like loose-ass nerds. Yeah.
Yes, it is. What did you say?
Loose-ass nerds!
You know these nerds strewn about?
You don't want nerds just going everywhere. You'll never be able to get them back up. They're hard to vacuum. You need them on a rope or in a cluster.
Yeah, and when you're in the box, it's like, you can get crazy and mix these two nerds together. But on a rope or with this gummy cluster I haven't seen yet, you got probably 10 different nerd varieties in one mouth bite.
See, the gummy cluster is like the perfect bite of a nerd rope.
Yeah. Because sometimes when you try to eat the nerd rope, you pull the rope apart, and then the nerds just go flying.
Get strewn about.
Yes, they do, in an irritating way.
The nerds
way.
Get loosed.
And plus, when you're dealing with a length of rope like that, there's a lot of pressure. It's not like you can slide it back into its sheath, and it comes with a Ziploc. Like, it means you eat this whole rope today.
And you should probably eat it in the backyard.
Yeah,
you because got they're just going to get all over the place.
Yeah, you got to go out by a barn or something where no one can see you.
But not on my good couch.
Yeah.
You stay out of that room.
And when someone sees you go out to the back house with a length of any kind of rope, they think you're about to off yourself.
Yes.
Maybe I'm going out on a limb there.
Are you about to deliciously kill yourself?
It's the darkest
I'm about
use
to murder myself
with
flavor. I'm going to need the afternoon.
Confuse and delight.
Bite them loose. Bite them down.
Bite them down. There's another one that I just tried. And truly, it's this thing where sometimes I'll just walk down that aisle. Most of the time, I try to stay out of that aisle, like at wherever, Walgreens or CVS. But sometimes you go down there and they're just like, oh, no, we've come up with another one. Come over, come and see, you know? And so there's one, and I think this is in the Sweet Tarts family, because you know how Sweet Tarts that now make a licorice, which is the greatest. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The texture alone, it really seems like you're eating a Hello Kitty eraser, which is my lifelong dream.
Yes.
Now they have, I can't even explain it. It's like they're Sweet Tart clusters or something, but you bite into it. I can't, you just have to buy them. I can't explain it. It's like a little.
Like a gusher? It's got something in there?
No, there's nothing inside. Okay. It's empty inside. So it's hard to explain because there's not a lot to describe, except for this sensation is so interestingly strange. Mm. It's like they know that those candy people must be doing lots of studies where they're like, it's not just about a good taste. There's also needs to be some kind of consistency in your mouth that's interesting.
That's crunch is like a necessary sensation or whatever to like the human brain.
Yes.
Yeah, it's funny that we all are taught as young people that candy is made in a laboratory with a bunch of people with lab coats and how do you put this flavor into? I thought more about that than so many more important advances in technology and the medical field. I just think of, lab technicians making candy.
And why can't they get banana right? It just doesn't taste anything like an actual banana.
Especially when it comes to runts. I mean, all those are the exact crunchiness you need to. Then you get to the banana. I guess they were trying to keep, because the banana's long and they don't want it to break. They want full banana, but at the price of you busting a tooth open. Banana runts are always too hard. They've always been the worst. It's just get rid of them. Sorry, it's a size problem. It's a shape problem. No more banana runts.
You get
runts.
It at a wrong angle. It just goes right into your mouth.
Ugh. Under your gum.
It's painful. Yeah. It is. You're like, ow, but kind of.
But also, I'm not against it, but I'm also in serious pain. I always really loved runts because I like things that are the shape of the thing of the flavor they are, which is a weird, but I've gotten lip glosses because they're shaped like an actual cherry that you unscrew and then the lip gloss is on the inside.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen things like that? So like when runts first came out, I was like, thank you. It's strawberry shaped. I know which one I'm having right now.
Right.
And not just by the color.
And it's a miniature version of fruit, which, you know, I hid it for so many years, but I've been very outspoken about how I enjoy miniatures. And if I could put that shit in my mouth,
Yeah.
And bite it like it's a tiny apple, like pretend I'm a little, a giant eating an apple, I actually try to turn it into an apple core. I mean, stop it.
Stop it right
Stop
now.
It.
Just stop.
I hope my dolls eat them. Have a slightly larger than necessary banana.
Yeah, yeah.
Eat this lime.
Come on, G.I. Joe. Right?
So, Maggie, what would your, say, top three candies across the candy spectrum be? Like if it was Halloween.
Okay.
Take your time.
So I'm a huge gummy fan, but the the more things go, the more I'm kind of grossed out at the idea of anything with gelatin in it.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Oof.
And there are, yeah, I was at Daiso when they had some gummies and it was like gelatin, parentheses, pig. And I was like, they're really just letting you know.
Yeah.
You can't ever say you didn't know because they're just letting you know.
It's the reason I stopped eating paste.
Because that's all horse.
Yeah,
all
horse. Elmer. Elmer's is all hoof, baby.
I love a good gummy. I like a good, like a gummy worm.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I like those. Haribo has some really good rainbow gummy worms.
I'm all about it.
The number one candy, though, has to be a bulk Haribo letter.
Yeah.
You know the ones where you go to those candy stores and you like shovel the ones in? Because they have them in a peg bag, but they're little. But the ones that you go and shovel them in, they're like, you know, pretty big. They're like finger length.
And you said bulk Haribo leather?
Letter.
Yeah. Letter. Oh, letter? I thought you meant like fruit.
I like some bulk Haribo chaps. Eat them when you're done with them.
Some straw.
Chew as much off as is
I'll have your
good for your modesty.
Yeah, your strawberry assless.
Assless edible chaps. Yes.
They weren't going to be assless, but they're delicious.
We can make them assless.
All chaps are assless, by the way.
Good point. The first time I went to a candy store like that was in the early 90s at Stonestown, the mall in San Francisco. And we were incredibly stoned and we walked in and it was just like in these, you know, bins and tubes of every gummy, every anything that you would want. And we took our bags and we were going around and filling the bag. And oh my God, there's this kind. And I love a gummy peach. I love a sour ball. Mm. They had everything. And then I got up to the counter and it cost me like $25. And I was just like, I was super broke. You know, I had like a minimum wage job. And I was just like, oh, like it, for some reason it was like, oh, I like all this. So I'm going to fill my bag. And it's like, right. And this shit is $10 a pound or whatever. Like you're not just getting it. It's not just going to cost you 75 cents. Like you're at the drugstores. It was a rude awakening.
That's the thing. They just really rely on that nostalgia of like, oh, shoot, gummy rings. I haven't seen a gummy ring in a minute. Oh, I like gummy rings. And then like, I mean, nobody is ever picking anything out and knows what size it is. Unless it's like a weed dealer, like, this is an eighth of gummy bears. Let's go.
Give me 4 ounces of those. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that night, actually, the night you gave everyone candy at the Zoom thing, I kept a ring. You gave me a ring pop. And I kept that for a while. That's because I was... My parents got me really paranoid about cavities. I think more than other parents did. Like, I'd have my Halloween candy all year, and then I'd save it for a special occasion and eat it while listening to music and dancing in my room, and then I'd hide it.
Aww.
I'd stash it. Oh, I know. Wait. It was a weird routine of dancing and listening to The Cure or something, but I still do it a little bit. I kept that ring pop for a while, and then I needed it one day. Had a stressful day, got some bad emails. I locked my door. I turned on some OMD and I sucked that thing dry. I sucked it all the way to the plastic little nubbin.
Hell yeah.
And also, ring pop, the candy itself, I find you don't usually get such a quality candy when it's a novelty item like that.
Yeah.
Like, you know, if they're trying to make it a shape or a thing, then the actual candy, like candy cigarettes, which we absolutely used to buy and pretend to smoke. We always thought cars going by thought we were smoking, which we thought was really cool. But when you actually got to like the gum or the hard candy on the inside, it was disgusting.
Yeah.
It was just like,
just
it was, felt like a mistake. Ring pop candy is some of the best hard candy there is.
Yeah, they're able because it's hard. Like, that's why those runts, I bring those up again, those goddamn bananas made me mad. One time I made these, I was trying to get art illustration work and I just made all these samples of my art in a little fold-out thing that was the size of a CD jewel case, because I'm like, what can I hand out that's a miniature booklet portfolio to... And so I had all the samples in the fold-out, but then there was this empty CD thing. So I randomly... But then it was like this Tops made a CD-sized piece of bubble gum, and I ordered a bunch of them, and they were all broken in half. Like, imagine a CD-sized piece of gum, a compact disc of gum. Of course, they're going to make it too hard and crumbly. So half of them were broken, but I put them in there. And then when I handed them out, everyone thought at the time, I mean, this was the early 2000s. So they're like, ooh, a DVD-ROM of your art. Like, they thought I was all high tech. And I'm like, no, open it up. And it would just be a broken piece of gum. So I went to this trade show and I was handing all these out. And all these guys were like, oh, gum. And they just instinctively put it in their mouth and then bit down on it. And there's a loud crunch and they'd spit it in their hand. It kind of ended up backfiring, but it made me more memorable. And I did get a lot of work for like years just from that one like illustration.
Oh, that's smart.
Yeah, it was an accidental thing. I'm like, wow, my tooth hurts. Oh, yeah. We need an illustrator for that.
Oh, that guy.
Yeah, that guy.
The guy that actually is responsible for this broken molar.
Yeah, yeah. It's a weird thing that worked, but yeah. Yeah.
I love that old gum, like baseball card gum or whatever, where you would try to chew it. And then truly after like 6 minutes, it just... You know, even if you could get it going as gum, it would just start crumbling. Like it's almost like it was so cheap. They didn't put in actual gum. You know, it's like there's powder and there's other shit in there, but like they weren't going to splurge on the thing that makes gum gum.
Right.
They just left it out.
Yeah. The same with
like, listen, kid, take your baseball card. Get out of here.
You got plenty with your card.
And then they doubled. Like, I can't believe they. I bet they still make it. There was, speaking of baseball and gum, Big League Chew.
Hell yeah.
Was shredded gum. And they even had a caricature on the front. Like, it was like, hey, do you want to chew tobacco like your uncle? Well, here's tobacco for kids. That should have been downright illegal. The fact that it was marketing, and I know that's why later in life I tried Copenhagen in school. It was because the great experience I had with the gum version. It's up there with candy cigarettes as far as just a bad idea for the youth. I know I get political sometimes.
But it was, no, you have to express yourself. But it was good gum. That's the difference. That was like the 80s remix where the gum quality, like you could, I feel like we paid so much attention to candy growing up because we had a corner store and that would be like the thing we did every day after school. So we'd just get other people in the neighborhood or whoever wanted to, or it's like, should we walk to Aegis's? And then it was like a mile there and a mile back. So anything that was new, if they had it, we would get it. So we would buy candy that'd be like Violet Crumble, which is an Australian candy bar that for some reason, our little local store started ordering. So then we would order it and it was basically like honeycomb candy. And it was a little bit like more for adults, I think, but we got it anyway because we were just like, we have to know what every candy is, you know? Yeah. We were just like connoisseurs. And when Big League Chew came out, it was almost like, well, I'm not a professional baseball player, but I have to try this gum. I need to be in on this.
I wonder what the line was of like, candy cigarettes are bad for inhalation. We need to start letting our kids know there's a healthier gum candy alternative for them to...
Yeah, it's... Still reminds you of another way to get cancer. I actually would put Big League Chew in my lip and spit. Like it's all coming back to me now. It was very dangerous idea for kids.
It was a gateway gum for sure.
It's the gateway-est, gateway-est gum.
What about Toffee Fae? Remember, I think you're too young.
I remember Toffee Fae.
Do you? And they were, the commercial was Toffee Fae is too good for kids, but it's not too good for you. That was the commercial. And so it'd be like, yeah, for real. So it's such a like 80s thing of like, hey, fuck you, kid, but also you might be able to get this, maybe. Like, and then you're like, I have to have that. I have to have that. So it'd be grandparents passing around this candy and they pass it over the kid's head. Oh. And then it's like at the end, they're like, you can have one.
Oh, really?
And it wasn't the best candy, but you wanted to eat it because you weren't supposed to.
So it's higher quality. It's like Werther's, we all know, is for the older folks. There's candies yeah. marketed towards the older people. There's also, yeah. I can't remember what, was it a Dove? So, like where it's like sensual and it shows waves of sexy chocolate. And it was almost like pornographic, those ads.
Yeah, they got little messages in them too.
Really? You're going to find yeah. love soon.
Yeah, person or like over reach 20. The sky. Just something, you know, something woo-woo, something Lululemon. It's just like, a wish is a dream of your heart or something. Like it's nothing big. It's like, why are you even writing this in here? Put a Snapple fat.
You're just shoving four in your mouth at a time. Just like, oh, okay, all right.
Yeah.
Well, all my dreams are going to come true.
I mean, no one's ever truly enjoyed a fortune cookie. I'm sorry. But we all eat them because we want to find out, you know, about the next fiscal year or love around the corner. There's
what's my future? Tell me, blandest cookie on the planet.
There's definitely not any flavor in your future, but yeah, I believe in fortune cookies. Like it's so funny that I have to read them, and I feel like you can't read it without eating the cookie. I still believe that as an adult. What the hell? Who trained me?
Like, have you ever gotten one of those fortune cookies where it's like crumbled and you can see the fortune in it already, but the cookie is already crumbled around it?
Oh, that's always a bad omen.
I don't know if those cookies have authority though.
Yeah, no, that seems like a bad thing.
That's, you don't even want to read that fortune. That's bad. That's
you
a bad
will die
mojo.
In 3 hours.
Yeah,
they
you know,
it's like basically,
yeah, it's basically like
just slide that cookie to someone
yeah,
else.
Yeah, it's like that VHS tape in The Ring. You just want, you got to pass that on.
Just stay away.
Yeah.
I actually got a fortune cookie one time when we lived in Sacramento. And that, so I was in college or around college age, probably flunking out of college at the time. Things were a little dark anyway. And I got a fortune that said, it was something, immediately I like remembered it for a long time, but it said something along the lines of, he may love you, but he does not love you very much. And everybody else is like, you know, got the real generalized ones that you've seen all your life. And I was just sitting there like, did someone handwrite this to me? Like, what in the fuck? It was harsh and kind of hilarious where it's like, all right, well.
That's just mean. I think every so often there's someone in the factory like, you know what? Fuck it. You're losing your job tomorrow. Everybody hates you. Print it.
Everybody hates you.
Yeah, you got to put some bad ones out there. It can't all be good news.
No.
My favorite thing in Austin, Maggie, you might remember this, but or maybe it was too long ago, but there was a car dealership that also did palm reading and there was like, so it was obviously like, my wife and I sell cars and she does palm readings or whatever. So there was like a neon sign of a hand and like, come in and learn about your future. So it was a perfect situation to be like, ooh, I see a 98 Chevy Beretta in your future or whatever. Like, I wondered if they somehow lured people into, I see, you're going to have a monthly income raise. Which would be perfect.
They absolutely did.
Yeah.
They'd be like, oh, no way. I see your current car in an accident with you in it.
Yeah, exactly.
Looks like you need to trade it in.
There's no way they weren't doing that. I love it.
Mm-hmm. That's quite a combination. That's like the KFC Taco Bell, but gone completely awry of like, you know what would be good together? Selling cars and doing palm readings are just like, disagree, doesn't fit.
Yeah, and there's so many things I used to make fun of there. There was also do you remember Dreamers, Maggie?
I do remember Dreamers.
There was, so that was not there weren't dancing girls there, right?
You know, I don't think I ever went in and I thought it was one thing and it was wildly
something
different.
I think it's a store. But it said, it literally was open late at night and it said lingerie modeling. Like, you're going to go, there's no way it wasn't like a legal sex worker place.
There
right?
had to have been a thing in the back.
Texas is amazing. Yeah. And then there'd be churches surrounding it. It's so funny how all that was. I don't know. I kind of miss that about Texas.
The sex work?
Texas is open for business. Texas is about their money. Yeah, they're like, sell that ass if it's going to make money. But, we all want our cut.
Yes. Strike the oil. Bring your money. Take it down to Dreamers. Buy some lingerie.
I literally would see that sign, though, and I'm like, so you bring lingerie in there to, like, maybe it's supposed to be a surprise, and you want to have it modeled first? Like, I didn't understand.
What if you're the one that has to model lingerie for someone else?
It won't be a surprise if I ask my wife her size. Do you have anyone here that could try this on? She's about her size. Oh, it's going to work. It's going to work. Okay, box it up. Box it up. Thank you for modeling that for me.
What a great service.
Thank you.
I appreciate it.
Thank you. You know, with a mannequin, you can't see someone like sashay around and walk around the room. So this is very helpful.
You know, that happened. There's a bar in my hometown, literally across the street from Johnny Garlic's. I'm not kidding at all. It's in the strip mall across the street.
That name.
And it's a... The bar's called The Aquarium, and we were in there, it's been there forever, and me and my sister and Adrian, my sister's friend Adrian, we were all in there for like happy hour, and I was home for, it may have been a holiday, like I was home for Christmas or whatever, and we were like, hey, let's all go drink in the afternoon tomorrow at The Aquarium. So we're sitting in there, and like 5 o'clock struck, and all of a sudden, all these young girls showed up who were wearing lingerie, but like the sun was still kind of coming through the like Bud Light sign in the window. So it was like, and this like, this bar is like, you know, old burgundy carpet. Like it's not a nice place, you know, or it might be now, but this was in the 90s. And these girls suddenly start, like they become the cocktail waitresses, but they're wearing like negligees and stuff. And it was really odd. And clearly it was for a world where that thinks that only old men go to bars.
Right.
Where we were, the three of us were just sitting there like, hey, what's up? Like, it's like, and they're like, do you want anything? And it's like, I'm literally sitting at the bar. Like, I don't need you to get me a drink. I'm closer than you are to the tap. That's... Like, what is this? And it was, they basically hired, like, it was like lingerie modeling cocktail waitressing for the happy hour crowd. It was so weird.
I've always thought Hooters was weird too. Like, what a weird a setup for every employee to be mistreated. There was a place in Austin that gave haircuts to men and it was topless. Like, topless women cutting hair. I'm not kidding. I am not. Anyone that knows me from Austin, that was a thing. And I always used to think, like, what a dangerous thing for the hairstylist to have. Like, I kept thinking of us scissors and nipples, and but we all
you get
know
your nipple shaved
that's the
off.
Elephant in the room. What if the scissors cut off a nipple? That's all I ever thought about. And
you're standing there topless.
It was
and
called
then...
it was called sexy scissors. It, I know it now. I'm not making this up. This goes back. It's like that bar with skunk asses. I'm not making this up. Sexy Scissors was a place. And
Sexy
it might
scissors.
Still be. Mm. It might still be. I don't mean to offend anyone that works there cutting hair. And maybe they wear bikinis. I don't know. As far as I recall, it was totally topless, though.
It's just the idea of, like, you know when you're sitting in the barber's chair or the, you know, the seat or whatever, and they have to pump the chair up so you're higher and closer to them? Like, how absolutely unsexy that would be if you were topless and then pumping that chair up. Like, it's not a super sexy job.
Right.
Mm-mm.
This kind of stuff that people have to do as they're standing back there.
Yeah.
Also, I'll say this. If I'm topless... that's the whole job. I'm not additionally working. Yeah. I'm not giving you a fade. I'm topless. I'm here doing this. The most I'll do is a little dance and that's it. But no, that I'm going to be checking to make sure your ears look good.
Yeah, yeah. What a weird, ridiculous, forced multitask. Yeah, it's like, it's enough that I'm doing this.
Women's labor, where it's never enough. It's never enough to just be topless and run some errands for me. Like, fuck off.
Yeah.
It also,
that's the only jobs that you see, like the women-centric jobs, those are the only ones that actually double as like a topless maid or a topless weather girl.
Wait, there sexy was maids in Austin? This is like a Texas thing.
Yeah, there are sexy maids.
And they're here too.
I don't think it's an official business. I think it's more of like an answer to a Craigslist ad, but people do it.
Yeah, but are we just...
There was a van that used to be parked in Burbank that was topless maids.
Yeah.
And I remember the first time I saw it, I just had that like, why does it always have to be this way?
Yeah.
it's terrifying.
Isn't it bad enough just to be a maid if some dude is home?
Yeah.
Like, isn't it sexy enough to have somebody just like doing your housework without...
Right.
Yeah.
And it's funny that I'm the experience that's sticking out in my head right now is one time I was at a dentist and he was working on my teeth and it's uncomfortable. So I was gripping the handrests on the chair, but he was leaning over and his balls were resting on the back of my hand, like my knuckles. And he was working though. He thought that he was just resting his balls on the chair. And I was in the same position. I could not, especially after a minute or so of my hand clearly being in there, I could not move it. Cause it's me revealing to him that like, surprise, I've had my hand under there this whole time.
Hold on.
I'm cupping.
There's no way that was a mistake. There's no, first of all, you can tell us, do you need to rest your balls during the day?
That's my question.
No, it wasn't like, oh man, these old balls are tired. Just out of necessity to reach the back of my mouth, you know, he didn't have tired, weary balls. They just happened to, that's where they rested. And to him, it was like, no big deal. It's part of the chair. But no, I knew it was my hand. And that's,
he knew it was your hand too, is what I'm saying. He knew.
I don't know. He knew. You think? He was an older guy. He was pretty straight up dentist guy. My experience with him through child, you know, he'd been my dentist for many years.
Okay.
I don't think that it was a situation like that. And this wasn't in Texas where it's probably a themed dentistry.
I don't trust dentists though like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Because there's always some story that comes out about like, oh, I got anesthesia for a filling, and then I woke up and it was filled with some other shit.
Yeah.
Yep.
I always I just think of Steve Martin from Little Shop of Horrors, and you know, he's high on laughing gas, probably doing God knows what, and we're all just laughing, and it's a musical.
My friend Alicia one time got laughing gas at the dentist, and her dentist like was young and cute, and she said she started like, she felt super high, she didn't feel any pain, then she started stroking his arm as he was working.
Oh, that's so...
She's like, now I can't go back to that dentist.
That's so funny, because she was... What is laughing gas? I thought it was a made up thing. Do you actually laugh?
Nitrous oxide. No, it just makes you not be in pain while they drill on you. I've actually never had it.
That dentist is probably used to so much.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why my dentist didn't say anything when I was consciously backhanding his tired. I'm sorry I keep saying balls. You know, I'm like a boy, and so I think it's funny, you know. I keep bringing up balls.
The idea of resting your balls, like you have to take time out during the day. Maybe he missed his lunch that day.
It's like a 2 p.m. ball siesta.
Just imagine him like, woo!
It's 5 o'clock somewhere.
Let me take a load off.
Filled so many cavities. My balls are exhausted. It's ridiculous. This job.
Yeah.
He has to wear a jock strap most of the time, but... Not that day. Not with Chris's help.
See,
people don't talk about how weary your balls get when you're dentisting.
See, you're both sweet because you're just backing me up now. You're like, hey, you're not the only one that can riff about balls. Thank you. Thank you both.
We support you.
Thank you. Like a jockstrap.
We all can.
Thank you.
That'd be interesting if it was like a bottomless dentist. You know, if they switched it up a little bit, it wasn't just the ladies and their work, but it's like, hey, ladies, if you want a little Chippendales action and get, you know, a root canal, go to this bottomless dentist. Everything's bottomless. Just, they all look like Porky Pig. Just a top and no bottom.
It's
just getting your teeth cleaned by someone whose dick is out.
Yeah.
Just with the dick out.
Yeah. No matter.
You gotta be talking about flossing.
You could be
next to a penis.
Yeah. You could be the most attractive man ever, and that's never a good look. Like, you could be, just shirt on, and then nothing, because it just makes you think of little kids going to the bath, you know, pulling their pants all the way down. It's not a good look.
No, it doesn't work the other way.
Doesn't.
Did you guys see Pam and Tommy?
No, I've been not supporting it.
You're intentionally not supporting?
I don't.
Are you anti?
Well, yeah, just because, what I was reading is that they talked about a lot of stuff that didn't have her approval, Pamela Anderson's approval. And so it was like, I don't know, she's just going through the same trauma. What I read is that it was traumatic for her, much like the whole sex tape thing, something else. I think everyone thought, together they released this sex tape, but I don't think she had any say in that. And then apparently wasn't consulted during the thing, but then I keep hearing it's great, so I'm gonna watch it eventually.
Well, the only thing I was gonna say about it is just there was a real turnabout is fair play moment, because there is so much full frontal male nudity.
Oh, really?
To the point where Jason Mantzoukas does the voice of Tommy Lee's dick.
What?
And he's fighting with his own dick because he wants to marry her. And the dick's like, don't do it. We're rock stars. We can fuck anyone we want. And I was just watching this scene where and I was just like, God, this is really advanced, like, compared to like most of the entertainment
advanced
I'm used
puppetry?
To.
Where, like, do you actually see it talking?
Not like, not like a little puppet.
Like a little mouth on there.
No, but it's kind of like sticking out. It's intense male nudity. Unlike usually, if there's male nudity, it's like Viggo Mortensen in that Russian movie where he's like, having a knife fight in the steam bath or whatever. You're like, oop, I saw a little something here and a little something there. It's always
a little
very, like,
something for everyone.
At. Yes, but this was like a bunch of something for everyone.
Sounds great.
Yeah.
I'm glad that it was gratuitous, and I'm glad that it was not artistic. I'm glad that it was just out.
Yeah.
You know, like 80s horror films did for titties.
Yeah.
Yes. I'm glad that they're doing that back for them. So.
Yeah. Equality in 2022, finally.
Finally, mm-hmm. We've made it.
We see dicks on Hulu. We are equal.
Here we are. This is it. That's all we need. Everyone can rest and relax now. Thank God. What else? Maggie, anything else you want to talk about that's been going on? Anything exciting? Anything you need to report?
Yeah.
Let's see. What do I need to report? Let's see. I've been spending a lot of time in Orange County. It's
I'm curious. I've spent some time
there.
What
you doing?
I have opinions about it. What are you doing?
Chilling,
down there?
Seeing what they're doing. I'm seeing a guy who lives in Orange County, so I'll go hang out with him there, and then he'll come over and hang out with me over here. But it's
that's what brought me down there years ago as a relationship so I was spending a lot of time in Newport Beach, and it was I kind of liked it. It feels like you're in actual surfing, Southern California, like in the movies.
It seemed so far away before I started going back and forth a lot, but like it's like a nice little suburb that kind of looks down on LA.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I like that. I think it's kind of cute. And there's mountains and stuff. And you go hiking. They got a whole bunch of Dezos. And I love that store. So
And not a single mask. You know, that's nice. It's like you're on another planet. Or a few months ago, I went down there. I'm like, oh my God, I'm 30 minutes south of where I live. And it's 2017.
I was surprised. I'm like, y'all have things to live for. Like,
yeah.
Put them on. Like,
yeah. You're not wearing a mask.
They also have health insurance.
And you pay.
So they're like,
you make payments on that beautiful car, and you're not willing to wear a mask.
Mm-hmm. A lot of Winnebagos that maybe will go on sale.
Yeah.
You'll be going to be able to find them at the Palm Reader used Winnebago lot. Coming soon to you.
I swear that was real.
That's kind of like, that is a long distance relationship technically because of how long a freeway drive like that is to Orange County.
I mean, it can be anywhere from like 35 minutes to like 2 hours if you go at the wrong time.
Yeah.
So.
Well, good for you doing that work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Putting in the relationship work. Yeah. Congratulations.
I'm putting in the leg work in this way.
Wait, you're walking there? Just kidding.
Odometer. There's a really nice path that takes you from Silver Lake all the way down.
Look, I want this relationship to be strong and I want my legs to be stronger. So walk into the OC every other week.
Everybody wins.
Stand up.
Yeah, you got any plugs?
Oh, yeah. I've got some shows coming up. Let's see.
Yeah.
I always forget, like, what I'm doing. People are like, aren't you doing some other... doing Howard Kramer's show tomorrow.
The one that's outside?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
I like that show a lot. It's fun. And if it's too cold, you can do your set in your car and nobody really, like, hassles you about it.
I get really nervous to do that show because there have been nights where we're in a dimly lit park and there's, like, some kids that go there to hang out and not be around their parents or whatever. And they're, like, you're playing with switchblades or something. And I'm like, are we really doing stand? I mean, anyone can... It keeps you on your toes in a way that... And forget about... being a comic that's picky about a low ceiling or something like me. It's like, you're just outside in public.
Yeah.
In the wild.
And no microphone?
I think there's a...
There is now. No mic. I think maybe now.
I think there's one now, but there wasn't before.
And oddly...
And my car died there.
Who died?
Right across... My car.
Oh, God, your car. I thought you said my girl. Oh, your friend?
The rest of this story is going to be very underwhelming after that. But my car died and there was a dude doing exactly that, like playing with a switchblade across the street in front of my car. And I'm just standing there calling AAA and they're like, are you in a safe area? And I was like, no.
Wait, you had a switchblade guy too? Maybe it's just a fan of Kramer's show.
Yes, he was like, it was terrifying. Like he was just like pulling stuff off of himself. I did not know what was going on. I was just like, look, I'm a small wide-eyed girl from Texas and I do not feel safe. And then Paul Danke showed up and was like, oh, well, I'll hang out with you and see if I can jump your car. And he couldn't get to his engine. And then like, he stayed with me until AAA got there.
Paul he's a protector. He's got the good instincts.
He's got dad energy.
Yeah. He's got mad dad energy.
He's safe because he's a dad.
Yeah, I think you're right. Here's to Paul Danke.
Yeah,
really. So Howard Kramer's walking show is have a name for that show and a location if people want to go see it?
It's called the Comedy Crawl.
Comedy Crawl, that's right.
Yeah,
I thought it was called Squat Melt.
Squat Melt, I think it.
Or Chaplin, I think it's Chaplin Stage.
You're right, I think you're right. He calls it Squat Melt. Originally, when Meltdown shut down, he started doing shows in the alley there. That was the original novelty.
Yes.
And it was kind of like an homage to all the years that was such a cool venue for everyone. But then he just started making it a mobile thing. But I think even though I get nervous to do it, and a lot of times if I'm not feeling it, I just say, no, I don't, I'm scared. I get to where, but it after I do that show, I feel like a stronger performer because it's like you've done... There's the added, you have to like deal with the elements of not being amplified and knife play.
But I have that, I have the same attitude that Maggie does about topless haircutting, where I'm like, comedy's hard enough when you have a nice loud mic and you're in a club people are drunk. Please don't make me go stand on the street and shout like a, you know, like I'm a busker.
It depends on where.
It's too hard.
Yeah.
It's too hard.
I think,
don't make me busk to my own jokes.
Please, God.
Currently in process.
I just looked it up and you're right. It's the Chaplin Stage. And also it might be, once this gets posted, it might be too late. But the important part is that Maggie is going to do it, which means credit to Maggie for having done it.
Yes.
And I'll be there again eventually.
Yeah.
I'll come back through.
Yeah.
The beauty of that show is like, even if I'm not on the show and I want to be on the show, like,
yeah,
I could be on the show. I'm the after show. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you anyone can go your... stand on the street and be on the show.
Yeah. Just not...
Get your own switchblade and be like, guess what? It's my set now.
Well, the one
y'all ready for your headliner?
And people go, it's kind of cool because, like, in the past, I've done it, and he's like, now let's do somebody's set over here, and the entire audience walks with you. It's like this weird group performance thing, like a flash mob or something. It's just a lot of elements, but
it's cool.
But you're right, Karen. Yeah. It's stand up's hard enough when I have a booked spot at the improv, I can eat it there, and wherever all the stars are aligned for me to not. Mess it up. I can fuck up, stand up, no, anywhere.
Oh, I'm so good at it. So good at it.
But I love doing it.
I also have an indoor show coming up. Oh, okay. So Ever Maynard has a show on the 6th of April. That's going to be indoors.
Oh, nice.
And then Randy Feltface is also going to be indoors in April. A Dynasty Typewriter, I think.
We'll just have, oh, is good. It, do you have, what's your website? People can go there or your Instagram, your Maggie.
Or social media.
Oh, Maggie May Ha Ha.
Maggie May Ha Ha.
May is spelled M A Y E.
Nice.
The E because I'm extra.
Are you doing Ever Maynard's show at the Elysian?
I think so.
To help
Ever
you with
Maynard
these plugs,
and friends.
That's probably.
She said, will you do my show? I was like, yeah. Yes. I didn't ask any further details. I was like, what's the date?
You're going to love
it. Never even thought about it.
The Elysian.
Tag me in the flyer.
You're going to love it. You're going to love that venue. It's amazing. It's, yeah.
I've never
been. Oh, it's so cool.
I'm excited.
It's exciting.
About it.
It feels like when you first started stand up and you do one of these black box theaters, it's like, it'll bring back old nostalgic comedy vibes.
You're nice.
Yeah, it's great.
Nice.
So check out Maggie May's Instagram and Twitter and her website to see where she's doing stand-up because she's very good at it.
She's one of the greats. Aww. And truly,
y'all gonna make me blush.
Well, you're the best. And thank you for being on our podcast today.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for hanging out.
You've been listening to Do You Need a Ride? DYN!
AR!
This has been an Exactly Right production.
Produced by Casey O'Brien. Mixed by Ryo Baum.
Theme song by Karen Kilgareth.
Artwork by Chris Fairbanks.
Follow the show on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at DynAR Podcast. That's DYNAR Podcast.
For more information, go to exactlyrightmedia.com.
Listen, subscribe, leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank you.
And you're welcome.